Genesis, the third chapter. And it reads, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any. Now the serpent was more crafty, and I'm reading out the NIV version, than any of the wild animals. Verses, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. Any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say to you, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did not say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Amen. Amen. From this particular passage of scripture, we're going to focus on verse 5. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Today, this week, I had the opportunity to speak with a young lady that works with me. And we talk every day, all the time. But this particular day, she came to me. She said, Miss Kia, I got another problem. And I said, okay, well, you know, what is your problem? And she began to tell me, she said, well, I had some friends. And my friends, that we've been friends for the longest, and they only call me, I feel like, when they feel like I'm not being their friend. I'm like, okay. Friendship talk, okay. We old, I don't really, you know, but okay, all right. So she begins to talk about her friends, and she said, well, we was friends since middle school, and the other friend, we've been friends since high school. And I started thinking in my head, like, I only got one friend really from middle school, and that's so, and probably two or three from high school, and they in this building with the exception of Trey. So I said, okay. But she began to talk, and every time she would talk, she was like, but I don't do people, because people just, they just bad, they fake. Then she went from the friendship conversation to my parents. They, you know, they, not my parents, but my stepfather and my mother, they get married. I ain't never getting married because I don't want to do marriage, because that's just too much. And then she went, all men are horrible. And I was like, well, I can't say any of those things because I have great examples of marriages in my life. My friends are not working my nerves, and I have great fathers, godfathers in my life, so I can't say that. And as I was talking to her, the Lord dropped in my spirit, and I told her, I said, the problem is you got to step down off the throne in your life. You gotta dethrone yourself in your life. You gotta stop being your own idol. Because at the end of the day, the thought processes that we have is oftentimes based off of me, myself, and I. And so today, as I look in the text today, and I prepared this sermon, and the Lord was just dealing with me, talking about idolatry. And so I think that, well, the title of my sermon today is called The Idol in the Mirror. The Idol in the Mirror. And so God gave me this. But oftentimes we identify our idols as external things. We talk about money, and we identify this money, and I got to have these cars. I got to have this external stuff, these clothes and these houses. I need to buy more. I need more wealth, right? Yes, those are the things that we oftentimes look at and we say, this is my idol in my life. We want what it is that we want. We carry ourselves in ways that we feel are right and righteous in our own eyes. We justify our pride, not wanting to allow other people to help us, because it's something about being a big dog and just doing it yourself and not allowing other people to come in and help us out. And our pride oftentimes become an idol in our life. We don't look at those things and think that they are idols. But if you sit down and you evaluate your life and you look back over your life, how often is it that you push God's hand aside and allow chores to go forth? Yeah, we struggle with these idols. We struggle. justify our over ambitious because we just got to have it. We just got to be at the top of the top. Our self-righteousness, our ego, our lack of wanting to do more and stay in a place of comfort. These are idols. Unfortunately, they are not ones that we can touch with our hands, but they are ones that we can feel in our heart. Yes, we are our ways over the ways of God. We so badly desire what it is that we desire when it's not the desire that God has placed in us, but it's the desires that we want our very own selves. We would never admit that we are our own worst enemy. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes the inner me is their biggest enemy. Ever since the beginning of time, and we look at this text, ever since the beginning of time, the enemy has used self-idolatry. The serpent enticed Eve with words of self-exaltation, as we see in Genesis 3 and 5. We are an I people. With a we mouth. We oftentimes scream what's good for us, but it's really determined by me, myself, and I. We are focused on our desires, our status, our achievements so much so that it is often causing us to become arrogant, selfish, and not ever being satisfied with anything that the Lord is trying to do with us. As you can see, going to the beginning of time, becoming a God unto ourselves has always been the greatest temptation that Satan lays before humankind. He wants us to take the authority that belongs to God into our very own hands, trying our best to receive the glory that is not due unto us, but it is due unto the Lord. It's easy for the man in the mirror to become the idol in the mirror. And I'm not telling you not to love yourself, because the Bible tells us to love ourselves. But the thing about it is that when he said to love the Lord our God with all your heart, mind, and soul, then he said, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. He already knew that we had the as yourself down pat. We got that down pat. So he knows I'm not telling you to not love yourself, because you are to love yourself. But we have to be careful at where we place ourselves, even in our own lives. Now, it is so easy. So let us go to the book of Acts, the 14th chapter. The book of Acts, the 14th chapter, is dealing with Paul and Barnabas. The book of Acts, the 14th chapter, starting at verse 5. I'm sorry, starting at verse 8. It says, in Listeria, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth, and he had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith. Somebody say faith. Amen. He had faith to be healed, and called out, stand up on your feet. At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. I'm going somewhere, I promise. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in their language, the gods have come down to us in human form. They began to call Barnabas Zeus, and Paul they call Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gate, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifice to them. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it. When we look at the chapter 14 of Acts, we see that Paul and Barnabas were in a city called Listeria. They were there to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, compelling all men to come unto Jesus. Nothing that Paul did was wrong, by the way. He didn't do anything wrong, but it was the people around him whose hearts were postured to other gods and called these two men other gods. calling these two men Greek gods. Instead, it Greek gods, Zeus and Hermes. They have now begun to worship the men instead of the creator of the miracle. Sometimes it's the hearts of others around us that can't acknowledge God. Things that's being, the God things that's being done because of the bodies or the mouths that it is being used by. We oftentimes mess up because we don't understand where to keep people at in the places. We are to honor the God that's on the inside of the people. Honoring the man and honoring the woman is true, but we are to worship the God and honor the human. Yes, it's about balance. It's all about balance. When we realize that we are doing this, we have to immediately check our hearts. It's about balance. And honor is one thing and worship is another. See, the problem is we often worship ourselves and we worship stuff and we use God. Yeah, only God deserves our worship. And the truth is we often allow idolatry to be the guides in our lives because we often worship what we should use and use who we should be worshiping. Idolatry is simply misdirected worship. At the heart of every idol in your life is ultimately worship of self. We can't get past us. We can't get past what we want. We can't get past the man in the mirror. We can't get past what it is that we desire. What our hearts want, what our flesh want. We are so stuck on us that we can't get past this very thing. And anything that hinders the self-sacrifice becomes idolatry. Even the good things that we do can be idols if they are placed before God. Now we understand idolatry, understand that in our lives we have these very things, and we understand that we are our very own enemy. But I tell you this, point number one, to combat idolatry, we got to first know our identity in Christ. Knowing your identity in Christ helps to dethrone ourselves from the throne of our own hearts. Who are you outside of your job? Who are you outside of your position? Who are you outside of you being a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, a husband, a wife? Who are you? Who has God called you to be? See, what we don't realize is those titles will one day be removed. And what you do for Christ will last, so your accolades won't get you into heaven's gate. The songwriter penned it best like this. He said, to build your hopes on things eternal, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Who are you outside of the things that you have, the things that you want? I'm just going to give you a few. Remember, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that you are a new creature in Christ. John 15:16 said that you have already been chosen. Regardless of what man may say about you, God has already chosen you. Romans 15:7 says that you are accepted. John 1:12 says that you are a child of the Most High God. 1 John 1:9 says that you are forgiven. Know who you are in Christ. Learn that he is enough so that he can sit on the throne of your heart and you can stop searching for stuff, people, positions, accolades, degrees, certificates to make you who you are, to validate you. Because the truth of the matter is, you are already validated because you've been bought with the price. Amen. Amen. The Lord also reminded me of Psalms 37:4. And that says, it says, to take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. To combat this self-idolatry, we must take delight in the Lord. We must study the Lord's word. We must be content what it is that God is doing in our lives. The Hebrew verb for delight in Psalms 37 is ignach, which is a command to find enjoyment in Jehovah. Another Hebrew word for delight is shafats, which means to bend toward or incline towards Jehovah. It means that you are to put your all into the Lord thy God. And while doing so, it should be enjoyable to you. To get out of our own way, we must get directly in the path of the Lord. And as I was thinking, I thought about the hurricanes and the tornadoes that has been coming down, coming left and right lately. I thought about a tornado. If you stand in the path of a tornado, anything that's in its path, it's going to take it and consume it. It's going to take it up and consume it. And that's what God wants us to do. Stand in his path so that he may guide us in the ways that we should go. Stand in his path so that he may take us in the direction that he wants us to go. Even with a tornado, when a tornado take up what it is that it gets, it may have started right here, but it could end million miles away, 1,000 miles away. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to direct us in the ways that we should go. And so we must get out of our own way. We must be content in what he says. To delight in something simply means it means to have joy in it. Your worship to be one of enjoyment. Your praise should be one of enjoyment. Your devotion should be one of enjoyment. If it's a burden to you to do any of these things, it is impossible for you to step down and allow God to step up in your life. Because these are spiritual disciplines that we must do to be closer and draw now unto the Lord. We want the desires of our hearts. We want the desires of our hearts. But if we don't do part A of the scripture, the desires of our heart will be inaccurate. Part A says to delight yourselves in the Lord. We oftentimes want part B so that he can give us the desires of our heart. But in order to get the desires of our hearts that are in his will and in his way, we must first delight ourselves in him. He must become important in our lives. We cannot live our lives day to day and not focus on what God is doing in our lives. Yes, this self-idolatry, it has been from the beginning of times. This is what Satan has used as a temptation for us to always get off track, because it's always about me, 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 and my. His desires become our desires when we delight ourselves in the Lord. His wants become our wants. His ways become our ways when we dethrone ourselves and allow him to be in place. See, what I understood about this as I was reading this as well is the Bible says that where two or three are gathered, then he will be in the midst. In order to be in agreement with the people around you and to do the will of God, we all have to delight ourselves in him so that he can begin to give us the desires that he wants for our lives. The agreement will cause him to be in the midst, and it'll cause lives to change. It'll cause things to be transformed. It'll cause us to do the will of the Lord. It'll call us to do kingdom building on a whole nother level. So we've got to dethrone ourselves and delight in the Lord. We got to want what he wants. And sometimes it may not feel good, but ultimately knowing that it's going to work for my good. It's going to work for my good. Lastly, to combat this self-idolatry, we must address it immediately and be willing to listen to the people who are on the outside identifying the problem when we can't see it ourselves. When we look at the chapter 14, The scripture says that it did not say that Barnabas and Paul heard for themselves. They said when they heard of this, which means that somebody else had to either tell them or they had to hear it by mouth. Sometimes we are so caught up in ourselves that we cannot receive what it is from someone else. And oftentimes God is using other people to straighten us out. Acts 14:14 says, but when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything therein. The Bible says when they heard of this, meaning that they did not know or did not know or realize what was taking place because they was focused on the task at hand. But God sent somebody to tell Paul and Barnabas, or he sent a word where they can hear it so that they would be able to correct the issue at hand right then. It shows us that someone else had to either tell them. They didn't argue them down, saying, well, that's not what I meant. They should have took it another way. Immediately, they began to show aggression, tearing their clothes and shouting, saying that it was not them, but it was God that was doing the work at the synagogue. It was the Lord that was on the inside of them that was doing the work. And that's what we have to do. The moment that we see that we have some type of form of idolatry in our life, we have to become aggressive with that thing. I have learned in the past couple years that you can't let it linger on, because the longer you let it linger on, the further it's going to take. Immediately, we must deal with what it is that is coming up in our life. Immediately, when the enemy try to use exaltation to dethrone God from your heart, immediately cast the enemy down back to the pits of hell where he belongs. He'll use exaltation in any form. He'll exalt problems in your life, and you will dwell on that. He'll exalt people in your lives, and you will dwell on that. He'll exalt things in your life, and you will dwell on that. Things that ain't even bad, but they just misplaced. They're in the wrong place in your life. But he'll exalt those things so high that you forget about the God who was able to even bless you with those things. Yes, so in order to dethrone these things, we have to cast them down to the pits of hell and replace what it is that the enemy trying to do with the word of God in our lives. And how can we replace something with the word if we don't know the word? And that goes back to delighting yourself in the Lord. I'm about to come in, Brother John. I'm not sure if you've truly received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's because that's between you and Jesus. I can only tell you about this Jesus. But it's up to you to decide if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouths and follow his commandments. Because the Bible says to work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not sure, but I heard a quote from a scholar by the name of Peter Creed. He said something like this. He said, Pastor Justin, he said that the opposite of Christianity is not atheism. No, he told us, he said, but the opposite of Christianity is idolatry. Because idolatry is not a matter of denying Christ. But it's a matter of wholeheartedly rejecting Christ, rejecting his position, rejecting the Lord of Lords, rejecting the King of Kings, rejecting the Master in your life, rejecting that he is Jehovah Sikkenu, rejecting that he is Jehovah God, rejecting that is the opposite of Christianity. So plain rebellion against the position in our lives. Yeah, it's a rejecting. We sung a song last week that said he hung high and they stretched him wide. It's the rejecting of the hanging. It's the rejecting of the stretching wide. It's the rejecting of him hanging his head and he died. It's the rejecting of him being down in the grave and coming back up again for you and I. It's the rejecting of him going down to hell, getting the keys and coming back up. It is the rejecting of him defeating hell, death, and the grave. When you reject Jesus, you are ultimately operating in a form, a spirit of idolatry. And so as I get ready to leave from right here today, I just want you guys to understand that it's not necessarily everybody else that we have to look at. Sometimes we got to look at the man or the woman in the mirror. God is blessing us, but we can't praise the blessing more than we praise the blesser. We can't worship the blessing more than we worship the blesser. We can't give glory to the blessings more than we give glory unto the blesser. When you look in the mirror, take a self-evaluation and tell God on today, whatever it is that's in my heart that's not like you, Lord, take it away, dethrone it, send it back to the pits of hell, because you need to be at the top of my life. You need to be at the head of my life. And so on today, I dare each one of you, including myself, because the word is, it's a two-edged sword. What it does is it cuts the speaker before it cuts the people on the outside. And so everything that's in our lives that is put in God, second, third, fourth, cast it to the side. Cast it to the side, because the truth of the matter is what you got in your life that's number one, God can double and give you better than that if you release what it is. Amen. 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 Amen.